So you've lost your income, the balance due notices keep showing up, and somebody told you about currently not collectible. And you're not sure whether that's a real IRS thing or something a relief company invented. That's who this is for.
Yeah, and the data settles that pretty fast. Shelving accounts it can't collect is one of the most routine things the IRS does. It's not an exception. It's not a favor.
Okay, so give me the count. How many people are in it?
There isn't one.
Wait, there isn't a count?
No official head count. Anybody quoting you X million taxpayers in CNC is estimating. What the sources do report is scale. The IRS delinquent account inventory has topped 10 million accounts in recent data books, and hardship shelvings run in the hundreds of thousands of accounts a year in the TIGTA audits and the taxpayer advocate reports.
10 million. And hundreds of thousands a year shelved for hardship.
Right. But there's a counting quirk. The data book counts modules, not people. One taxpayer with 3 unpaid years shows up as 3 taxpayer delinquent accounts.
So the 10 million isn't 10 million humans.
Correct. And CNC shows up as a disposition. What happened to accounts during that year? Not as a running population. So the standing total is plausibly in the millions, because accounts sit there for years. But nobody prints that line.
Why is there no roster? That seems like something they'd track.
Because it's not a program you enroll in. It's a flag. When the IRS decides it can't collect, it posts transaction code 530 to the account, plus a 2-digit closing code for the reason. That's it. Nothing to enroll in, so nothing to count.
Code 530. And the closing code is the reason.
The reason. And hardship is only one of them. There's unable to locate, defunct business, deceased taxpayer, expired statute. All of those post as code 530, which is why total CNC numbers always run above hardship numbers.
Okay. Compare that to the settlement thing everybody advertises.
Offer in compromise. In fiscal 2024, roughly 1 in 5 offers were accepted, out of a much smaller pool of applicants to begin with. So the IRS shelves far more accounts than it settles. That gap is the single most useful thing in this data.
And the reason CNC is more common is what? It's easier?
It's a different kind of test. The Internal Revenue Manual directs employees to code an account uncollectible when income is at or below the IRS allowable living expense standards. It's a math test, not a negotiation, which cuts both ways. You don't argue your way in, and you do have to document the numbers.
Say more about the hard part.
The hard part is documentation, and the fact that your math has to actually fail their standards. Your county, your family size, their tables. If you're self-employed, the business income and expense analysis gets genuinely contestable, and the IRS often pushes back. If you've got unfiled years, they typically want filing compliance first, and the order you fix things in changes what you owe.
Let's do the thing where doing nothing is also a choice. What happens if I just don't call?
You don't drift into CNC. You get the automated escalation track instead. CP-14 is the first bill. You've typically got about 21 days from the notice date. Then CP-501 and CP-503, the reminders, while penalties and interest compound. Then CP-504, which is notice of intent to levy your state tax refund. Then LT-11, or letter 1058. That's the final notice of intent to levy. Starts a 30-day clock, and your collection due process rights, requested on form 12153.
Hold on. CP-504 is the state refund one, and LT-11 is the real levy notice?
That's the order. And after those 30 days, bank levies with a 21-day hold before funds leave, wage levies that continue paycheck after paycheck until released, and up to 15% of Social Security through the Federal Payment Levy Program.
None of that requires a person to look at my hardship.
That's the whole point, especially now. The collection workforce was cut roughly 27% in 2025, but the automated systems weren't touched. the notice stream, the refund offsets, the systemic levies. A taxpayer whose numbers would support hardship can still get levied by a computer because the designation only protects you once it's coded on the account.
Okay, so if it does get coded, what stops and what doesn't?
Stops: wage garnishments and bank levies. Existing levies generally get released. New enforced collection from the automated system. The federal payment levy program deductions, including that Social Security piece, and hardship CNC debt is excluded from passport certification, which otherwise kicks in at $66,000 of seriously delinquent debt in 2026.
And the keeps going list.
Interest, compounding daily on the full balance. The failure to pay penalty at 0.5% a month until it caps at 25%. Refund offsets. They keep any refund you're owed and apply it. An annual CP-71 notice restating the balance. And they can still file a notice of federal tax lien.
Wait, a lien while collection is paused?
Yes, levies stop, liens don't. A lien isn't a seizure. It's a public claim attaching to property you own, and it can complicate selling or refinancing a home.
That's the surprise, then.
That and the clock. The 10-year collection statute keeps running while you're in CNC, and it runs in your favor. Compare that to an offer in compromise, where the clock is paused while the offer's under review. If your debt is already several years old, that asymmetry can decide which path costs less over a lifetime.
Run me the article's example, quickly.
Hypothetical. $28,000 across 2 years. Laid off in March, two kids. $2,600 a month in unemployment. Allowable expenses under the IRS standards come to about $4,100. So $2,600 minus $4,100 is negative $1,500 a month. Ability to pay is zero. Meanwhile, a 72-month installment agreement on $28,000 is roughly $389 a month before interest. Realistically, $430 to $470 with accrual.
Money that doesn't exist.
And agreeing to it anyway just sets up a default a few months later. The cost of CNC in that example is the meter. The failure to pay penalty alone starts around $140 a month, plus daily interest. In exchange, no levy, nothing due monthly. And if those years were assessed in 2024 and 2025, they'd expire around 2034 to 2035.
And what ends it?
Income. Land a $70,000 job in 2027, and your next return likely trips the income threshold coded on the account, and it goes back to active collections.
So what does someone actually do this week?
Pull your IRS account transcript. Confirm the balance, the tax years, the assessment date for each one. Those set your 10-year clocks. And check whether code 530 already appears anywhere. Then run the hardship math against the allowable living expense standards for your county and family size. Then gather proof: unemployment statements or final pay stub, rent or mortgage, utilities, medical, last filed return.
And a lot of people can do this call themselves, right?
Honestly, yes. 1 or 2 years of W-2 or unemployment income, simple records, budget that clearly fails the standards. You call the number on your latest notice with your form 433F figures ready, and the agent walks them line by line. Patience is the main fee. Where experienced help changes things is narrower. A levy already in motion that needs a release negotiated now. Self-employment income, unfiled years, a balance climbing toward that $66,000 passport line, or a real CNC versus settlement decision.
And afterward, verify it landed.
Check that code 530 posts to your transcript. Keep filing every future return on time, and write down the collection statute expiration date for each year. Filing compliance is the thing you control.
If you want someone to check the math before you dial, Clarity's enrolled agents do a free confidential review. The 2-minute form on the page, or 888-825-7779. and pull that transcript today either way, because the interest and the penalty accrue every month the account sits there.